Our second capstone presentation today will be delivered by Larry Akins. I think all of you have received a leaflet here that actually has an introduction of Larry on the back page at the bottom. I'm going to do a variation of that here. Larry has a Bachelor of Ministry, Master of Theology, and Doctor of Theology degree from Covington Theological Seminary in Rossville, Georgia. He currently serves as the pastor of the Fort Valley Charge, two churches, Oak Level and Whitechapel United Methodist Churches in Fort Valley, Virginia. In the past, he has served as the founder and president, CEO of Spark of Grace Ministries International, and for a decade served as senior pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Temple in Hagerstown, Maryland. Larry's capstone presentation, intriguing title, Diverging Cultures, Yet a Coalescing Christ. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you, Lonnie, and thank you to my good friend, Lindsay. I didn't get to hear all the presentation, but what I heard was excellent, and very proud of all the folks who are graduating and all the work that we're putting into this. I want to briefly mention my appreciation to the rest of the seminary faculty and also for the administration giving me this opportunity. I want to welcome special guests and welcome everyone who has come. I appreciate you taking time to hear my presentation. I want to say at the very beginning, I spent quite a bit of time in research and wrote a rather intensive paper that I have turned into the seminary. And instead of boring you with all those details, I thought I would try to present my topic in a little bit of a humorous way. That means you're supposed to laugh. I thought about some laugh here cards, because I don't know if you'll think it's funny or not, but in my sense of humor, it seemed kind of funny, and I want to enjoy this time we have together. It'll go by very quickly. I was raised in the Baptist traditions, ordained as a Baptist in 1992, and pastored as a Baptist for 20 years, up until 2012. These last 4 years have been a time of transition in my life as I have tried to follow God's leading into the United Methodist Church. Along this journey, I have been intrigued by meaningful conversation and intense studies. I have studied with and been in conversation with a Jewish rabbi, a professor of the Islamic religion. I've also studied with Mennonites, fellow Methodists, disciples of Christ, and other Christian traditions while attending seminary classes here. Of course, most Sundays I have worshiped and preached in Fort Valley at the two wonderful United Methodist churches where I pastor. Today I want to reflect with you on these experiences and on what I am learning through this transition. My presentation, as has been announced, is entitled Diverging Cultures, Yet a Coalescing Christ. I invite you to have a centering prayer with me. Almighty and eternal God, I want to thank you that in the midst of ever-changing circumstances, you are there. Though the mountains may tremble and the seas of life may toss violently, you are still there. I worship you and praise you for your faithfulness and safekeeping in my life. You have truly been with me, and I know you are with us even now. I pray your presence will be very real to us today as we reflect upon the blessed work of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray also that the narrative I share of how you have been working in my life will encourage others who are walking or who may walk a similar path. May we also be reminded of your eternal plan and the greatness of your love for every person. I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us and aid in our communication during these next few moments as we give attention to Jesus and how he brings us together. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I would invite you to stand with me, and in your bulletin or on the screen, we have a responsive reading adapted from Colossians chapter 1. You have the bold type, and I trust that you will have a hearty and robust response that honors Christ. Shall we start? Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. All things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Christ and for Christ. Christ himself is before all things. All things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in Christ we might have come to him, for him to have first place in everything. For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Christ God was pleased to reconcile to God all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of Jesus Christ's cross. You may be seated. As I was praying about this presentation several months ago, and believe me, we spend a lot of time preparing and working toward this presentation, one night around 2 a.m, I was awakened with a hymn on my mind. Now, this is quite unusual. Generally, at 2 a.m, I'm sound asleep, and I have no thoughts of hymns swirling through my mind. So I tried to pay attention to what I felt the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart about. I actually got out of bed, went downstairs, and found a hymnal, and I found the words to this hymn. It's called My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. I felt it expressed a lot of what Christ has been teaching me throughout my life, and especially these past 4 years. So I want to play just a little bit of it for sake of time, but perhaps later you'd have time to look at all the words. They're very meaningful in my life.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he'll never cast me out. Jesus died, and that he died for me.
I think you get the theme of the song. From an early age, my precious and godly mother, her name was Linda, instilled in me a love for Christ. Her message was always centered in Christ, and throughout my formative years as a youngster, I grew to love Christ with all of my heart. My mother taught me songs like these. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Another one that we'll put on the screen that my mother really loved. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy I shout and sing. And songs like these and my mother's vibrant faith taught me to be a sincere follower of Christ. Now, make no mistake, as I have said, we were raised in the Baptist traditions. My mother and father were Baptist people. But thankfully, I feel I was raised to follow Christ above those traditions. My earliest memories include being at church, where usually I would fall asleep during the pastor's sermon and awake to find the place kind of deserted, my folks still talking to those that were left. I'm very thankful for the Baptist church. I have a lot of great memories there. It's there I experienced Christ in very powerful ways. I came to know salvation, be baptized. I was called to the ministry. I entered the ministry in 1992. I became a youth pastor for 3 or 4 years. I was a music minister and a choir director for 6 years. I pastored in North Carolina, where I completed seminary the first time. And also for 10 years, a very blessed pastorate in Maryland, where we just saw wonderful things and God blessed in marvelous ways. I was a Baptist through and through. I remember saying one time, I was born Baptist, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm Baptist. I made no bones about it. And never in my wildest dreams, I mean, not in my wildest fantasies did I ever think I would be anything but a Baptist. Yet somehow now in God's providence, you're looking at a Methodist. I am a Methodist. So you might ask, well, what's it like becoming a Methodist after so many years as a Baptist? Is it really different? Well, let me start by saying there are a lot of similarities. Reminds me of a story, perhaps you've heard about the little kindergarten student. Her teacher thought it would be fun to have show and tell and encouraged all the students to bring something to class that spoke of their faith. And the teacher would give them a moment to show and tell about their faith. So the students came in. The first child got up and said, well, I'm a Muslim, and this is my prayer rug. The second child said, well, I am Jewish, and this is my Star of David. The third child said, well, I'm Catholic, and this is my rosary. Well, the fourth child, unashamed, got up and said, well, I'm Methodist, and this here is my casserole dish. She could have easily been Baptist, Mennonite. One thing I found we all have in common as God's people, we love to have potluck dinners. And I, quite frankly, love to go and enjoy all that wonderful cooking. Well, in all seriousness, there are a lot of similarities between the Baptist and the Methodist. For instance, both join with many other Christians in a confession of faith that includes belief in some very important things: of the triune God, the incarnation of Christ, Christ's virgin birth and his sinless deity, the efficacy of Calvary and the empty tomb for redemption, the promise of Christ's second coming, the work of the Holy Spirit to convince, convert, and empower believers, salvation by grace through faith alone, and so many other themes that I could mention that truly we hold to, that are precious to us in both of these traditions that I've experienced. Yet there are some differences. Admittedly, there are some very big things that are quite different. I remember when I first came into the Methodist Church and before I had a chance to go to the Board of Ordained Ministry, there was quite a bit of uncertainty about exactly, at least in my mind, how this whole idea of transferring my ordination from one faith tradition to another would look like. Well, I went to see the board. They wrote me an official letter and said, you are now an OF. An OF. I've heard of odd fellows. Is that what I am? An odd fellow? I mean, not too bad. Nice organization. I wasn't sure. And by the way, I found out a lot of my Methodist friends who are cradle Methodists, they don't know what an OF is. I was talking to a rather high official the other day, and they told me the OF was something that it's not. I actually came to find out what it means is I'm a full member of an other denomination. Makes sense. What it basically means is they recognize my Baptist credentials, my ordination, etc. And I could pastor a Methodist church as somewhat of a guest pastor with sacramental authority, but nonetheless, a Baptist pastoring a Methodist congregation. Well, there are many other differences. Probably the biggest difference that I want to at least share with you is getting used to the traditions surrounding the idea of baptism. Baptism is quite a bit different from one tradition to the other. I had baptized over 1,000 converts by immersion, like you see on the screen, where literally someone comes into the pool. All the Baptist churches I was a part of, they had a hot tub, you know, like a big swimming pool. And you would bring folks into the pool and you would bury them with Christ in baptism and they'd be raised to walk in newness of life. And every one of those situations was a joy to my heart to be a part of that. I think it's very serious when someone makes that commitment in baptism to Christ. But there are several of these times that really stand out in my mind, and not just for religious reasons. I remember one lady, very dignified lady, came to our church. She was so excited to find Christ. She said, I've never experienced Christ, never been baptized. And after several months, she came to me and said, Pastor, I would like to be baptized. I said, wonderful, let's set a date and we'll talk. And so we did. Well, she came to the baptistry, I mean, just beautiful. She had the white robe on. Her makeup was perfect. Her hair perfectly set. She walks down into the baptistry. We have a tradition in the Baptist church. You raise your right hand. You say, upon the authority invested in me by this local assembly and by Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism. Well, about that time, she went under, but her hair stayed on top of the pool. Raised to walk in newness of life, slick as an onion. She gasped. The crowd burst out in laughter. It wasn't nice. It wasn't pretty. She was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. I could go on. I could tell other stories. Kind of like this slide here. I got a real chuckle out of. The way Troy entered the baptismal did not amuse Pastor Swiggins. I've had something just about like that happen. Go to the next slide. I love this one. This is Baptist General Conference warning. Long prayers and baptisms don't mix. Thanks, Jeff Larson, for the fun. But can you just imagine, you know, under the water, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, Son, blah, 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 blah. The guy's down there drowning. Help! Then what about this one? Another Eskimo baptism gone bad. Frozen stiff. Well, I hadn't been a Methodist very long, Brother Tommy, and I found out that the practice of infant baptism has its difficulties as well. It doesn't always run as smoothly as planned. Check out this slide. So this guy in a dress tried to drown me, and I kid you not, my family just stood there taking pictures. And then I just love this next slide. No! I'm an atheist! There are other differences that I've come to appreciate about our Methodist traditions. But in all seriousness, I found the same Christ is all in all. When I came to Luray, I first attended Pastor Eric Bennett's church, the Luray United Methodist Church. I wasn't sure what I would find. In fact, I really had doubts about what I would find. But you know, I found God there. I found Jesus Christ there. I found the Holy Spirit working in sincere believers' lives. In short, I found the family of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the fellowship was instantaneous and very sweet. Like the verse that we talked about at the very beginning, Colossians 1:18, it was so evident that Christ is the head of the body. And we were all part of Christ's church. Yes, they were Methodist. I was Baptist. But we found a unity in Christ Jesus our Lord. In preparation for this capstone integration project, I interviewed other pastors who also had made similar denominational transitions midway through their careers. Consistently, they expressed the same truths that I've been learning these past 4 years. They said things like this: we need to see people as persons whom God loves. I feel we should drop the labels and focus on leading people to follow Christ. Another said, our task is to win souls to Jesus Christ. Christ is greater than any denomination. Another said, the love and charity of Jesus must govern all that we do. Personal holiness is a must, no matter the tradition. To their thoughts, I feel I could add what the Apostle Paul had to say. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. I am convinced more than ever that the most important thing in our religious following of Christ is to lead people to Him and to a personal relationship with God. Then we can lead them to be good denominationalists. I'm not against that. I think it's wonderful to be a Methodist or Baptist or Mennonite. I think these are important tools of organization, and I think the greatest part is the connection with other believers. It's wonderful to be the family of God and working together for Christ's cause. This next screen is something I want us to do to embody the truth that I have been learning. I've asked the persons listed on the screen and in your bulletin, there in the order of how they were introduced into my life in the last 4 years, to come and fill the reserved seats surrounding the Christ candle. Would you mind doing that at this time?
These strings represent through which Christ had often shown me His presence during these past 4 years, while in transition. Each of these groups have kept me centered in Christ, some by serving me, and others by allowing me to serve them. Yet all these people, represented by these 12 friends, have formed a living portrait of Christ in my life. I hope I have the opportunity to question and answer time to perhaps explain this a little more, but for now I just want you to see this living portrait of Christ as Christ has been very real to me, even though I've gone through what seemed to be a great transition. But it's been these people and who they represent that have been Christ to me, as represented by this Christ candle. I wonder, as you see this living portrait of Christ, I would invite you to reflect on Christ's presence in your life in a day-to-day way. Who is it that is representing Christ to you? How do you see Christ at work in your life, working through the transitions of your life? I've asked our superintendent, Reverend Tommy Herndon. He represents 81 churches in the Harrisonburg area, over 17,000 members, over 5,000 attenders every Sunday. And Tommy has part of all that's going on in our Methodist traditions in this area. I ask you to come with a few closing remarks and say a prayer.
Well, it's good to be with you today, and how fortunate we are to have Larry among us. One of the things that I've reflected on many times since Eric called me and said, I've just met somebody you need to meet. I've said, we thank God for sending this man to us. This man who God has called to serve in the United Methodist Church. And he didn't even know that 2 years before. He has called him to come to this place to learn. And I know that you've been a part of that and helping with that. So my prayer is, as we go through these days with Larry, that we continue to let God speak to us, and that you will continue to listen. I just pray for you. Lord, it's a great day, and we give you thanks for Larry. We thank you that you have called him, that he has heard you, and now that he's ready to serve. Lord, as he goes forth as a full-time pastor this year, as a seminary graduate from Eastern Mennonite Seminary, Lord, we just ask that you continue to use him, that you allow him to be where you want him to be, and allow him to say what you want him to say. Lord, even the use of humor that he's used this day. Lord, we give you thanks for it. We thank you for God. And we ask that you continue to use them in mighty ways. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Can we go into questions?
We can go ahead and give you some applause, but I'll do that right after.
Okay. Thank you.